Somebody that I love dearly recently said that fear is the tool of a tyrant. And she's right. But I'm not afraid. And I hope you're not either. I hope instead you are engaged, you are paying attention, and you will vote like your beloved country depends upon it, which it does.
It certainly does. I'm not afraid. I'm engaged. And I will vote like my country depends on it.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Because it does.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yes, I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK, 90.7 FM in L.A., 98.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, California. Also in California, in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM 950 KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day with your support on the internets, on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, Delmarva FM, and most of your favorite podcast sites, blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Now in our 22nd year of troublemaking and muckraking, and yes, the Bradcast is your smart, unflinching show for perilous and yet stupid times. Glad to have you here with us. During these perilous and stupid times.
The perilous and stupid times that really just the stupid part is just really just, you know, that's
just
what gets to me.
Stupid. I know it is pointless, unnecessary, and yet dangerous, menacing. And, well, we're all going to get together and do something about it, says me. Thanks for joining us for another thrilling edition of the Bradcast. I know we often that was Desi Doyen, by the way, our producer. Hi, Des.
Hey.
I know we kick off our shows in the authoritarian Trump era often by telling you how much news there has been since we last spoke to you, especially after a weekend. But this past weekend, I think I might be understating it by saying that in the last 3 days of news, it has been more news than we would normally see in about 3 months back in the before times. Some of it, sadly, deadly violent, but some of it actually good news, if you know how to look at it, even in a way that, you know, it might not seem to be good at first glance. So while our coverage today of much of what has gone down since we last spoke to you late last week, as James Comey, as you heard at the top of the hour there, was just being indicted moments before we went off air. There has been a lot since then, and our coverage of what it all means for all of us in the days ahead, as I'm going to try to catch us all up today, may be unsatisfying in some respects, simply because I can't dig as deeply into each story as each one fully deserves. Hopefully, we can try to get ourselves back into onto a similar page, however, to help make sense together of the coming difficult week. Weeks, months, years, as I do expect a deluge of lies, misinformation, fake news, and false claims in the immediate days ahead. Have any questions or thoughts about any of the stories that I hope to touch on today or any others that you would like to talk to me about or ask me about? Ask me anything. I have vowed to keep the lines of communication open with our listeners and this community whenever possible on this show amid the Trump era of lies and deception and misinformation and people retreating in response too often into their own bubbles. So as it has been several weeks since I've been able to open up the phones, I hope to change that today. Our phone number will be is 818-985-5735. And as we are in Fun Drive again here at KPFK, if you are in our live Southern California listening area or listening live anywhere via our live kpfk.org web stream, you'll need to hit button number one to join me on the air. Even better, however, hit button number two to donate any amount you can afford to help keep KPFK, Pacifica Radio, and yes, the broadcast remain on your public airwaves. Now that we've been through yet another week that I hope will serve as a reminder of how we, the people, need to stand up to protect our public airwaves. For real. To ensure that they stay available to we, the people, not just the corporations that Donald Trump and his FCC director, Brendan Carr, wish to allow to remain on our public airwaves. It is not up to them. It is up to us. It is up to you. And yes, a regular reminder that Pacifica Radio, our flagship syndicator, is targeted by name in Donald Trump's Project 2025. His anti-American, anti-democracy, anti-free speech manifesto. So feel free to give us a call to remain on your public airwaves at 818-985-5735. Or you can go to kpfk.org, pick out a nice thank you gift there. If you're listening on another station or another network, please consider supporting them as well. As I say, we are all in this right now together. And as I've long said, this is no longer a drill. But if you want to reach me, 818-985-5735, hit button number one, and I'll try to get you on the air as soon as we can. But given the real news that, the real news that they've got to deal with, in one sense, I do not blame the Republicans right now for trying to create a whole bunch of fake news to distract you from reality, like the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, going on CNN over the weekend and declaring that he has just learned that 274 FBI agents somehow secretly were at Donald Trump's January 6, 2021 insurrection at the U.S. Capitol.
They're going back to that old dry well again.
Yes, they are. Well, they whether or not they were actually there or not, I guess the implication is somehow they fomented the insurrection that Donald Trump himself was found guilty of having incited by a bipartisan majority vote in the U.S. Senate after a full impeachment trial on the facts of that case. For the record, FBI agents deployed to the Capitol on January 6th were sent there after a riot had already been declared by the D.C. Metro Police in order to help with crowd control, at least according to Donald Trump's own FBI director, Kash Patel, responding to the claim that Trump had posted on his failing social media site over the weekend and that Mike Johnson went on the air on CNN to pretend, to parrot and pretend was actual news.
And remember that the FBI needed to be called in after the riot had already started because Donald Trump sat there and did nothing while the Capitol was overrun.
Correct. But Trump's use of his social media to spread literal fake news like that, well, that may have taken a bit of a leap over the weekend, even for him, when he actually posted an AI video featuring phony AI-created video of himself announcing a healthcare program that is completely phony and does not exist. As HuffPost reported on Monday morning, California Governor Gavin Newsom blasted Donald Trump after the president shared online an AI-generated video promoting a far-right QAnon-aligned conspiracy theory about, quote, miracle hospital beds. Trump posted the clip on his social Truth Social platform on Saturday. It was deleted, by the way, the very next day. but it featured a fake Fox News segment hosted by the president's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, who is a host on that network, by the way, and fake AI voiceover of Trump himself claiming that new so-called med-bed hospitals would soon launch across the country and that every American will soon receive their own med-bed card, none of which is true, all of which is completely fake, made up by AI, and yet posted by the President of the United States. Now, I'll get to what Newsom said in response to it, but I'll play a bit of this video for you that Trump himself posted to his social media site before pulling it down a day later. But I wanted to remind you here in advance, again, that this is totally phony, which you need to know, given that we are likely headed toward a government shutdown this week in no small part due to huge cuts that Trump and the Republicans have made to Medicaid and made to the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare and potentially have made to Medicare as well, Medicare, that all told is about to raise premium prices for tens of millions of Americans beginning January 1, unless Republicans agree to restore the cuts that they have made. Now, we spoke about the specific details of those cuts that will, for example, raise monthly premium prices for 25 million Americans by about 75% or much more, 25 million Americans who purchase their health care through the ACA exchange marketplace. It's called Covered California out here in California. Yes, your rates are about to go way up unless Republicans do something about it. We discussed those cuts in depth last week with healthcare analyst Charles Gaba, but you can download that show, that conversation, if you missed it, for free, no paywall, at bradblog.com if you didn't hear it. But here is the 100% phony AI-generated video featuring 100% phony claims by the President of the United States that the President of the United States himself posted to his own social media site on Saturday.
Breaking now, President Donald J. Trump has announced a historic new healthcare system, the launch of America's first med-bed hospitals, and a national med-bed card for every citizen.
Every American will soon receive their own med-bed card. With it, you'll have guaranteed access to our new hospitals, led by the top doctors in the nation, equipped with the most advanced technology in the world. These facilities are safe, modern, and designed to restore every citizen to full health and strength. This is the beginning of a new era in American healthcare.
In this first phase, only a limited number of med bed cards will be released. Registration details will be announced very soon.
So again, that was completely fake.
100% fake. Not real. Does not exist.
Neither the comments by Trump there or by his daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, were actually said. It was all AI generated, which is not unusual. But the fact that Donald Trump posted it himself on his own social media site, that is unusual. But he has not announced the program for healthcare for all Americans. In fact, he has cut hundreds of billions of dollars from healthcare for Americans, which will spike the cost of your healthcare next year, no matter where and how you get it. That video that Trump posted to his own website was fake and AI generated. The press office for California Governor Gavin Newsom responded on X, formerly Twitter, to note, quote, "Trump is about to shut down the government and rip healthcare from 20 million Americans. What's he doing? Posting AI-generated slop about miracle hospital beds that cure all illnesses," before going on to add in all caps, "Donald Trump has lost it." Hard to disagree with. Now, whether Trump has actually lost it, and there's a lot of quite plausible evidence for that argument, or whether he knows exactly what he is doing, and there's a lot of plausible evidence for that argument as well, well, that remains up for debate. If you have any thoughts on that, please give me a call if you're listening live today at 818-985-5735. But I'll get to more evidence in the Trump has lost it debate in a moment. For the record, CNN's fact-checking reporter Dan Dale explained on X that the med-bed conspiracy theory centers on the belief that society's elite
and deep state already have secret access to med beds, or that famously dead people like JFK are actually alive on those med beds. The fake report, said Dale, shows Trump supposedly giving real Americans access to the elite's magic product, which do not exist. But the fact that Donald Trump posted a video of himself saying something that he did not actually say, well, that has raised the question of whether he thinks he may have said something like that, it seems to me anyway. Adding ammunition, of course, to the Trump has lost it argument. Or does he know exactly what he's doing and exactly what he's lying about, but does not care? 818-985-KPFK is our number. If so, if he knew that he was lying, but he didn't care, why did he then remove that video the very next day? In another story that may add support to either the Trump is losing it argument or the argument that he knows what he's doing, even while adding more evidence that when people stand up to Trump, he tends to back down. Well, hours before the Trump administration federalized Oregon National Guard members to supposedly quell a supposed war that's underway in Portland, Oregon, who knew? Just hours before that, Trump said during a Sunday morning phone interview with NBC, he suggested that he was cooling to his plans, his announcement, his threat to send federal troops to Portland to quell this war, to protect U.S. immigration and customs enforcement facilities in Portland. When asked whether he was still sending those troops to Portland, which he described as, quote, war ravaged, did you know that, Portland? We got a lot of listeners in Portland. Did you know you were war-ravaged there? This was in a social media post on Saturday. He called it war-ravaged Portland. He said his administration would make a decision on whether to send troops, quote, pretty soon. He said, quote, well, I mean, we're looking at it. You can't have that. We don't want that. They're attacking our ICE facility, and they're attacking other federal buildings. Which, despite what Trump sees on Fox News, even when it's not phony AI video, doesn't actually appear to be happening, as Trump seems to believe is happening. And now he seems to have learned subsequently that, oh, maybe it's not happening, because later on Sunday, the administration did make the decision to deploy a couple hundred troops to federalize a couple hundred Oregon National Guard members, effective immediately for 60 days. But we will see as to when Trump actually deploys those troops and whether they do anything more than stand around federal buildings that are, in actuality, not under any sort of attack. The state of Oregon and the city of Portland immediately filed a federal lawsuit against the administration in response. But during a Sunday morning phone call, a phone interview with NBC White House correspondent Yamiche Alcindor, Trump made some remarks that seemed to indicate that he might be backing off or at least questioning these military plans for Portland. He referenced a weekend conversation with Oregon's Democratic Governor Tina Kotek, and he alluded to being told by the governor that the reality in Portland is very different from what is apparently being portrayed to him in the White House and, of course, over Fox News. Trump said, quote, I spoke to the governor. She was very nice. But I said, well, wait a minute. Am I watching things on television that are different from what's happening? Ding, ding, ding. He said, my people tell me different. He seems sort of confused, going on to claim, quote, they are literally attacking and there are fires all over the place. It looks terrible. There are not fires all over the place. Governor Kotek said she told Trump and Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem on Saturday morning that troops are not needed. And in any event, she believes that Trump does not have the authority to deploy the U.S. military to Portland. She said there is no insurrection. There is no threat to national security. Portland Mayor Keith Wilson said the necessary number of troops needed that Trump referred to in his social media post is, quote, zero. Zero troops. This is an American city, he said. We do not need any intervention. This is not a military target. Since 2025, a couple dozen people, since June, I should say, of 2025, so early in the summer, since then, about two dozen people or so have been arrested in connection with protests outside of the ICE building in Portland on the South Waterfront. Most of the arrests occurred in the first month of those protests, so several months ago, and the protests have generally decreased in size over time, according to KGW8, the NBC affiliate in Portland. Governor Kotek has been trying to push back at Trump, as in Chicago, when Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker told Trump to stay out of Chicago with his federal troops. Trump does tend to fold when people actually stand up to him. Though it's interesting that maybe, just maybe, Trump is beginning to wonder whether his own staff and his own Fox News are lying to him about reality. Is he seeing something different on his television? Yes. Different than reality? Yes. Unfortunately, reality struck hard in Michigan over the weekend and a number of other states. Over a weekend that was exceedingly violent and deadly for Americans in the throes of our seemingly never-ending gun violence epidemic, showing itself yet again in not one, which you likely heard at least something about, not two, not three, not even four, but five mass shootings over this past weekend since we last spoke, and at least two of them might have been avoided, but for the fake news that Fox News has been pumping out for decades now. At least four people were killed and eight others injured after a gunman opened fire at a Mormon church in Grand Blanc, Michigan, about an hour outside of Detroit, and then set the building ablaze. The gunman was shot dead by police, but not before he opened fire with an assault rifle on the congregation and set the building ablaze. The police chief of Grand Blanc Township said a 40-year-old male suspect drove a pickup truck with two huge American flags lashed to the truck bed through the front door of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Grand Blanc on Sunday morning, got out and began firing an assault rifle at hundreds of church attendees. The suspect was later identified by officials as a 40-year-old man from the nearby city of Burton, a suburban area. U.S. military records show the man was a U.S. Marine from 2004 to 2008. In fact, an Iraq War veteran. No motive for the attack has yet been determined. Presumably, I would argue, because Donald Trump and his FBI and DOJ have yet to figure out a way to blame the left for this attack. Quote, "My heart is breaking for the Grand Blanc community," said Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer on social media. "Violence anywhere," she said, "especially in a place of worship, is unacceptable." Donald Trump working hard to make the event political before the fire was even extinguished at the church, said on his failing social media platform, quote, "appears to be yet another targeted attack on Christians in the United States of America." And then in all caps, quote, "this epidemic of violence in our country must end immediately." Well, I agree to that part, Mr. President. What the hell are you going to do about it? Continue to make it worse? Continue to do away with laws designed to prevent the mentally ill from getting their hands on weapons of mass destruction, like you did in your first term? The Grand Blanc shooting happened during a particularly violent weekend here in the U.S. It marked the, get this, 324th mass shooting in the United States in 2025. That, according to the Gun Violence Archive, which deems mass shootings in which, in which four or more are shot or killed in public places. That is a mass shooting, according to their archive. And for the record, the 324th mass shooting in the U.S. this year alone came on the 272nd day of the year. So yes, far more mass shootings so far this year than there have been days in the year. This is America. And yes, I am also willing to make this political myself. Republicans, for years, have simply refused to do anything about this worsening gun violence epidemic. That is not a partisan statement. That is a fact-based statement. But you're willing to call me and tell me otherwise at 818-985-5735 if you want to counter that argument. I'll be nice. But that was not the only mass shooting, the one in Michigan, nor was it the only mass shooting by a veteran of America's armed forces. In North Carolina, another 40-year-old U.S. Marine veteran who also served in Iraq was the suspect in a shooting that killed three people and wounded five others less than 14 hours before the Michigan incident. Police in Southport, North Carolina, accused the man of firing on a waterfront bar from a boat on Saturday night at approximately 9:30 p.m. near a popular stretch of bars on Southport's waterfront, a historic port town about 30 miles south of Wilmington. Investigators said the assailant piloted a small boat close to the shore. He stopped briefly and he fired into the crowd before speeding away. Now, I'm old enough to remember. Way back in 2009, back when Fox News and Republicans became furious at the newly sworn in President Barack Obama after his Department of Homeland Security released a draft report warning about extremist violence from the right, particularly by veterans of America's armed forces. Now, despite the fact that the report was created in large part under the George W. Bush administration, that there was neither hue nor cry when a similar report about left-wing extremists was released before this one about right-wing extremism, the Obama administration back then in 2009, to their eternal shame, actually backed off and retracted that report. Clearly, they should not have done so. As we have seen an epidemic of right-wing extremist violence in the years since, including from former members of the military, just as that report predicted and warned. Shamefully, that shooting in North Carolina was not the only mass shooting in North Carolina over the weekend. Another saw four people shot. Thankfully, none were killed in that incident in Raleigh, North Carolina. The shooter remains reportedly unknown in that shooting as of Monday morning, but it wasn't only Michigan and it wasn't only North Carolina. In Texas, just after midnight on Saturday night, two people died, five more were injured in a shooting at a casino in Eagle Pass near the U.S.-Mexico border. Law enforcement early on Sunday were searching for the suspect in the casino shooting. Meanwhile, in New Orleans, in the first block of Bourbon Street, the well-known entertainment thoroughfare, a quadruple shooting killed one woman, wounded two other women, and injured a man, according to local police. New Orleans police did not immediately publicly identify a suspect or discuss a possible motive there. So as of Sunday, there were five mass shootings. As of the 272nd day of 2025, there had been more than 320 mass shootings in the U.S., according to the Nonpartisan Gun Violence Archive. At least two of them, were carried out by U.S. Marines amid the Trump administration vowing to defend, arrest, take down what they describe as a network of leftists hell-bent on violence against people on the right. Despite no evidence to support such claims and a mountain of evidence to suggest that far more violence actually comes from the right, and in any event, none of that matters. It could all be quelled if Republicans ended their blockade of common sense, constitutional gun safety reforms. For the record, the 40-year-old former U.S. Marine rammed his truck into that Mormon church in Michigan on Sunday before gunning down the congregation and setting the building afire is being referred today by the right-leaning Drudge Report as a, quote, MAGA maniac, citing reports that noting that while police have not yet announced the motive in the attack, the gunman from suburban Michigan, who shot at least 10 people with an assault rifle, in what the FBI describes as, quote, an act of targeted violence, he was seen wearing a camouflage Trump 2020 campaign shirt emblazoned with the words, "Make Liberals Cry Again," in a picture posted on social media in 2019. And if you haven't heard that, it's because it wasn't a Joe Biden t-shirt from the same era, in which case you would have heard everything about that and everything about this guy. An image of the man's home taken on Google Street View showed a Trump-Pence sign attached to his garden fence.
And I think it's notable that, remember after the Charlie Kirk assassination,
yep,
that Trump's FBI director Cash Patel,
yep,
and the Justice Department were very quick to provide all kinds of information,
oh, yeah,
about the shooter having a trans roommate. The bullet markings were about the, you know, and they also talked about at the ICE shooting how that, mm-hmm, had bullet markings on there about anti-ICE and all of that.
Oh, they
and
had plenty of information, good or bad. They got plenty of it after,
right,
a shooting by somebody they think is from the left. If it's maybe somebody from the right, well, let's talk about other things.
Right. It's, I think, because it doesn't fit that narrative that they're trying to create, that about the radical left, so that they can then use that as pretext to justify trying to silence people.
Other images showed this guy to be an avid hunter, posing with dead deer and other game in the back of a silver truck that appears similar to the one that was used to storm the church. So make of all of that what you will, but I promise, had there been even a fraction of that kind of evidence suggesting that this guy was a Biden supporter or a Democrat, we would likely be facing martial law in this country today. But of course, as he appears to be a Trump supporter, well, we can all get on with the business of ignoring or preferably forgetting that he used an easily purchased assault weapon for the attack, that Republicans continue to refuse to take any measures to help protect against. To help protect against gun violence. And you can also forget that it was the 324th such shooting this year, much less that he appears to have been a MAGA Trumper. That, of course, is the tiniest fraction of news from over the weekend and into today. I'd love to get to your calls today at 818-985-5735, if possible, though I have more than I could talk about, such as the fact that our corrupted U.S. Supreme Court last week allowed Donald Trump to violate the law again in withholding some $4 billion in foreign aid that had been previously allocated by Congress. That is Congress's call, not the president's, as it controls the purse strings, not the president, though our corrupted activist right-wing Supreme Court apparently feels otherwise. At least when a Republican is in the White House. Or I could talk, as we did late last week, about the fact that the Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has called all U.S. military generals and admirals from around the globe to the Quantico Marine Base on Tuesday, September 30th, for an urgent mystery meeting about which there has been, well, much speculation of mass firings or loyalty oaths or what Hegseth now seems to be referring to as simply a pep talk that Trump himself will reportedly preside over. Or I could talk about the fact that on the very same day, September 30th, Republicans must adopt a bill to keep the government open, or we will have another partial shutdown as of midnight, and that Donald Trump, after inviting Democrats to the White House last week to negotiate on this matter, canceled that meeting, declaring it to be pointless to meet with Democrats. Before, oh, flip-flopping yet again to invite them to a meeting today. Or we could talk about the fact that after two special prosecutors during the first Trump administration declined to indict former FBI Director James Comey on criminal charges, finding no evidence that he'd actually broken any laws. So in the first administration, two different special counsels did not indict former James Comey because there was no evidence. And now in the second term, a third prosecutor, Donald Trump's own top prosecutor in the Eastern District of Virginia, U.S. Attorney Eric Siebert, resigned rather than bring charges against Comey, only to see a Trump-appointed personal lawyer of Trump's with zero prosecutorial background as the new U.S. attorney there, with orders to indict James Comey in what is almost certain to end in an embarrassment for the administration, as the ridiculous case is either likely to be dismissed out of hand by a judge, or if it ever does go to trial, which I doubt, but we'll see, if it does, it will be rejected by a jury. And that James Comey, rightfully, does not seem to be concerned about these charges at all, at least according to the statement that he released after the indictment was announced late on Thursday.
My family and I have known for years that there are costs to standing up to Donald Trump, but we couldn't imagine ourselves living any other way. We will not live on our knees, and you shouldn't either. Somebody that I love dearly recently said that fear is the tool of a tyrant, and she's right. But I'm not afraid, and I hope you're not either. I hope instead you are engaged, you are paying attention, and you will vote like your beloved country depends upon it, which it does. My heart is broken for the Department of Justice, but I have great confidence in the federal judicial system, and I'm innocent. So let's have a trial and keep the faith.
Let's have a trial. We'll see if it ever does get to trial. Or the fact that just after Comey's indictment was announced, we learned that Trump's corrupted DOJ had subpoenaed the travel records of Atlanta District Attorney Fonnie Willis, who had indicted Trump and 18 co-conspirators for their broad criminal scheme in trying to steal the 2020 election in the Peach State. And that Trump suggested Christopher Wray, the man that Trump himself appointed as FBI director after he fired Comey, could also soon face indictment. If they can only find something absurd, no doubt, to charge him with. He is going after his enemies. But all of this is also proving, once again, that standing up to bullies like Trump is, in fact, the way to proceed through this nightmare. James Comey doesn't sound afraid, and I hope you aren't afraid either. Corporate local television station conglomerates, the very right-wing Sinclair and Nexstar, both folded by week's end last week in their continuation of blockading Jimmy Kimmel's show for millions of ABC affiliate station viewers in some 60 cities across the U.S., agreeing just days after Disney and ABC restored Kimmel's show to the airwaves. Despite threats from Trump and his FCC chair, Brendan Carr, to Disney and ABC and the local affiliates controlled by Nexstar in Sinclair to revoke their broadcast licenses unless they stopped airing Kimmel. Because I guess he made too much fun of Donald Trump, which apparently Donald Trump, at least, believes is unlawful. And because they believe that the First Amendment free speech guarantees for all of us are likely should be meaningless, apparently, as Trump hopes that the 14th Amendment protecting birthright citizenship will also be meaningless soon because he's asked the corrupted Supreme Court to make up another non-existent clause in the Constitution to end that as well. I could talk about any of that and much more, like Trump's so-called border czar reportedly accepting $50,000 in a food takeout bag last year in exchange for a promise to award contracts to businessmen if Trump won last year's elections. Or corrupt New York City mayor turned Trump buddy Eric Adams over the weekend, dropping out of the November mayoral race in New York City to help Trump's other new pal, Andrew Cuomo, somehow defeat the very popular Democratic Socialist nominee, Zoran Mondani. Or the fact that Trump still refuses, to release the Epstein files, in which he is named along with his longtime pedophile sex trafficking best buddy, Jeffrey Epstein, and the fact that House Speaker Mike Johnson has so far refused to seat newly elected Arizona Democrat Adelita Grijalva, who won a special election for the U.S. House last Tuesday and, as it turns out, will be the 218th signature needed in order to force a mandatory floor vote via discharge petition calling for the full, unredacted release of the Epstein files. So Johnson is refusing to seat her. I could talk more about all of those things, but I would love to hear from you about what you'd like to talk about today, keeping in mind that the less we cower, the less we tremble, the less we roll over and bend the knee to bullies and tyrants like Trump, the more we refuse to back down like Jimmy Kimmel and James Comey and the governors of Oregon and California and Illinois, the sooner this nightmare will be over. Or at least the sooner we'll be able to begin restoring America, dare I say, build it back better after this pathetic, ridiculous, anti-American attempt at a tyrannical autocracy after it finally comes to an end, and it will. The only question now is how it's going to finally end and how many people are going to continue to be hurt by this horrific man and the brain-poisoned, gullible people who have been hoodwinked into following him. If you're one of those people, whether you're still hoodwinked or not, I'd love to hear from you today. 818-985-5735. That's 818-985-KPFK for anyone in our live Southern California listening area or anywhere else live via our web stream at kpfk.org. Give us a call. Hit button number one. And we'll try to get you on the air ASAP. I'm Brad Friedman, and this is your Bradcast.
Hi, this is Desi Doyen from the Green News Report and the Bradcast. What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At the Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Yes, do call me. Welcome back to the Bradcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Don't make me threaten you again. I do have a lot to talk about, but if you call in, we'll go right to you in instead. Let me go 818-985-5735. Hit button number one to join us in the few minutes we have left. Yes, Des?
Yeah, and I just want to ask Mark, the teacher, to please call back again. I accidentally hung up on him
when
I tried to put him on hold. Sorry.
Des, I'm firing you again after this show. 818-985-5735. Mark, give us a call. Sorry about that. Desi feels terrible about it. So do I. Hey, Dave in Venice. Welcome to the Bradcast, sir.
Hi, Brad. Just like an indolent child that's been caught using AI to do his homework, we don't care who wrote it, but Trump never uses words like that. That he talks like a thug, and then we hear this phony, and you could tell it was phony because he never talks like that. He's been caught using AI, and that's why he erased it. Because it was so obvious.
Well, of course he was caught. It was in the, the statement that he supposedly made. He's sitting at the desk in the Oval Office. He's got Fox News talking about him as if it's real. It is obviously fake. What did he think he was doing, Dave? Did he think nobody would notice that they would actually believe that he announced this medical program, this healthcare program to cover all Americans? I mean, if that's what he meant to do, why didn't he just go out and announce it instead of running a fake video of him announcing it?
Yeah, well, that's all part of his provocation, and I can't believe that he's provoking Portland now. But that's all part of it. It's, this guy talks like a thug, just like me right now.
Well.
But he... We know. We heard what he was saying, and we knew that wasn't him saying that. And it was, you could almost tell it was phony.
But doesn't, of course you could.
Brad. That's all I want to say.
All right. But doesn't it give you the impression that he's kind of lost his mind? That he thinks he can get away with that?
Yes, it does. Okay. Because we can't tell. This guy is going to be. He's going to be as old as Joe Biden when he runs again. So, he's falling apart.
He's not going to run again. I promise you that.
In the brain area there.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to put it kindly. See, there I am talking like him, a thug.
Liar. You're not talking like a thug, Dave. You're telling the truth.
Okay.
That's the difference. He talks like a thug.
Jimmy Kimmel told the truth,
that's
too,
right.
And look what happened to him. So,
and he's back.
I went to the demonstration, so I was mad
Thank
about
you.
It.
So. Good. Thank you
I was mad enough to go to the demonstration
Thank
myself.
You.
So.
Thank you for that, Dave. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your call, and I appreciate you not backing down against that thug. If we all do that, we'd be in much better shape. I'm reading a story coming over the wires right now that YouTube is backing down. YouTube is rolling over and going to pay $24.5 million to Donald Trump to settle a 2021 lawsuit over his account suspension after January 6th. That is, of course, not illegal. YouTube can suspend anyone they want. But, of course, YouTube, owned by Google, wants to bend the knee to Donald Trump. Because that's what these corporations do. Let's you and I not do so. 818-985-KPFK. Let's put a little spring in their step as we did over at Disney ABC to make them realize there is no upside to bending the knee of folding for this president. Andrew in the Inland Empire. Hey, Andrew, welcome to the broadcast, sir. Oh, Andrew, do we have you there?
I'm sorry.
There we go.
I didn't hear you coming in. Can you hear me right?
I can hear you just fine, Andrew. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind, brother?
Yeah, first of all, since the listeners do fund the station, I appreciate you coming on once a week and communicating with the listeners and opening up the phone lines. And I would also appreciate if the general manager and the program director came on the air once a month and communicated with the listeners who fund the station and took feedback. Mm-hmm. And if you disagree, please let us know.
I will pass.
Thank you.
I will pass that on to them. Okay. What else you got on your mind, brother?
I am a member. I do fund the station, and I will pledge to become a sustainer and fund the station once a month when the general manager and the program director come on the air once a month and do a report to the listener, as other general managers have done.
All right.
Now, my second point is,
I think we
need to move to a multi-party Congress. Currently, we have a one-party Congress. Both the Democrats and the Republicans are the same party, the corporate party, and I think we need to move to have other parties within Congress to provide balance to the corporate-dominated war machine that is funding our Congress now.
Andrew,
I'm wondering what you think about that.
Yeah, well, let me first start by disagreeing with you. I do not believe we have one single party. We have two parties. They both rely too much on big money to stay in power, but they are two very different parties, and I believe it's a very lazy assertion to say that they are both the same. If you think that they are both the same, if you think that what's going on right now under Donald Trump is the same as what was going on under Joe Biden, I'm not sure what world you're living in. That said, I've got no problem with multiple parties in Congress. But you don't just declare it so. It happens by running for office. And if people want to run in a so-called third party, they're welcome to do so. The Green Party does it all the time. Libertarian Party does it all the time. But they've got to make that case to the American people. There is nothing that prevents a multi-party Congress above and beyond the two that Republicans and Democrats that we have now.
Well, if I can comment, I think what we need to do is we need to support these third and fourth parties, the Green Party, Peace and Freedom, and an upcoming Labor Party. Mm-hmm. We need to do that because currently the funding for the Democrats and the Republicans, who both are supporting sending $50 billion a year to places like Israel. So I would agree on the instead of giving them to the American people to provide free health care and child care for parents who want to go back to work but have to pay for child care or to fix their car. One in four kids living
in
poverty.
Andrew, I got to jump in. I got to jump in again to say that Republicans are about to cut off $350 billion a year that Democrats have given to Americans for health coverage when it comes to the Affordable Care Act, and it's between $4 and $5 trillion that, again, Democrats have given to Americans for Medicaid that the Republicans already ended back in July of this year. So, $50 billion to Israel. You can argue about $50 billion to Israel. That's a very good argument to make. But to pretend that somehow these are the same parties because they both support Israel when Republicans are cutting literally trillions of dollars from Americans for health care. And that includes you and me and pretty much everyone else listening to this show, Andrew. I just think that's unbelievably lazy.
Most Americans pay hundreds and thousands of dollars per month for their health care, and the Democrats, as well as the Republicans, but the Democrats have not supported universal health care, free health care, which many industrialized countries have supported.
That's right.
And 50 billion a year to Israel and 800 military bases around the country and a military budget, Pentagon budget of $1 trillion a year.
Fine. That's good.
Should be going to the American people.
Okay.
Both
fine.
The Republicans and the Democrats are supporting that, Brad.
Okay. Yes, they are. They are supporting certain things in common. And feel free to criticize them, but do not ignore the reality about who is going out of their way to hurt the American people. You might like Republicans better than Democrats. You might like Green Party than the Democrats. That's fine.
I don't care.
Good. I will support your right to do that. But let's not lie about facts and what the facts are and how one party right now is directly, purposely, outrageously hurting Americans by cutting trillions of dollars from their health care.
It's just bad and worse. But they're bad. They're both bad. Supported by major corporations and the military.
I got to go. I don't want to be rude, but I got to go. I only got a few minutes left. I want to get to more folks. I appreciate your opinion here, Andrew. I really do. But it's your opinion. That's good. I'd like to focus on reality. Anyway, let me go to Roger in Minneapolis. Hey, Roger. How's it going up there? Are they send the troops into Minneapolis yet?
Oh, they did that in 2020.
Oh, okay.
It was quite an outrage. Okay. Brad, I got two things real quick.
All right, make them quick, because Andrew used all your time. Yeah, go ahead.
I am pinching myself
that
the country that I grew up in has wound up being the country I saw it being capable of becoming 50 years ago. I saw the incipient fascism when I saw Billy Graham on TV in 1963. Mm. And I said, this is a danger. I could feel it. Okay. I pinched myself. How did this happen to my country? But I see that it's here. This is reality.
Yep.
Second thing, I live in Minneapolis. I've spent some time in Southern California, but I've been listening to KPFK religiously for more than 20 years, and I'm a member of KPFK, and I live in Minneapolis. Darn it, I don't even have the benefit of listening to you during drive times.
Thank you. It really sucks,
but I am proudly a member of KPFK.
Thank you, Roger, for that. I greatly appreciate that. Thank you for that endorsement. I hope other folks hear it. I hope other folks realize that when I start mixing it up with folks like Andrew, that is what we are supposed to be doing here. We are supposed to be talking about all sides, all points of view. We're supposed to be having it out. And thank you for your support over all of these years, Roger. And thanks to everyone else who's ringing in right now to help us during this incredibly critical fund drive the need for which Roger saw 50 years ago. Thank you, brother. Good to hear from you, my friend. Oh, boy. 818-985. Am I doing this right? There we go. 818-985-5735. We've just got a minute or two left. I hate to kind of get obsessed on Andrew's phone call, but I think it's really important. Everything that Andrew said, 90% of what Andrew said is absolutely true. You can make the case that both parties are too reliant on corporate cash. But guess what? Only one of those parties has actually tried to pass legislation that would get dark money out of our elections. Which party is that? That's the Democrats. Now, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a member of any party. I'm not a Green. I'm not a Libertarian or anything else. But I am a fact-based person. And I think for us to be able to make better decisions moving forward, we have to be realistic about the facts surrounding elections and our democracy, what's left of it, and the parties in this country and how things work. And you may have a problem with Democrats. I have lots of problems with Democrats. Do I have the luxury to turn my back and say, well, let's give them a few more Trumps for a few more presidencies? Will there be an America left at that point to do anything about this? I heard the argument back when Donald Trump ran the first time in 2016 that, oh, this is what we need. It'll shake things up. It'll make Democrats realize how terrible things are. And suddenly they'll be able to magically change things without the support, apparently, of Republicans. That's not how this works. So I'm going to help you cleave to reality here on the broadcast every day. Every day of the week that we're on the air. I hope you will join me for that. Let me give Morris 15 seconds here. Sorry, my friend. Hey, Morris, what you got, brother?
The president of the United States needs an intervention, Bradley. After listening to that speech at the United Nations last Friday, I'm not kidding you, man. I was ready to start crying tears. He embarrassed us, man. He needs an intervention. Now, who's responsible for doing that? I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. President needs an intervention. Indeed. Who's responsible? We, the people, are. I will continue to present the best intervention that I can, but we need your help. Hey, thanks, guys. I got to get out. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, to our board operator, Wendell Handy, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's program, download it anytime for free at bradblog.com. You can drop me an email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the social media, you will find me at The Brad Blog. We'll see you there until we see you here next time, hopefully tomorrow. I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener-supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.